Morning is Psalm
72. It is a prayer to God asking for guidance and support for the King Solomon. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May his foes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all day long. May there be abundance of grain in the land. May it wave on the tops of the mountains. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. His fame continues as long as the sun. May all nations be blessed in him. May they pronounce him happy. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, son of Jesse, are ended. This is the living word of God, wisdom to all generations.
In June, I was lucky enough to take a trip to Palestine and Israel with the United Church. It was a profound opportunity to visit holy sites and meet with United Church mission and service partners, but it was almost a greater gift to travel with colleagues from across Canada and learn from them. One particular colleague, John, shared deeply of his faith as a First Nations United Church minister and his struggle with these two identities and his overall dreams for this amazing land of Canada. He spoke passionately of how our two tribes, First Nations and everyone else, have grown very comfortable living beside one another. It was not unlike the situation in Israel and Palestine, he observed, seeing the similarities of people who avoid interacting with one another because we fear the generational hurts that will get opened up if we do. We'd rather a peaceful coexistence marked by ignorance rather than a more difficult relationship of reconciliation and living with one another. He encouraged, this was John, encouraged the celebration of Canada Day, but only if it came with a commitment to making the next 150 years different than the last. And that's the overarching theme if you caught any of the news leading up to and including the 150th celebrations. We have much work to do, much tiring work and exhausting work, but work that is imperative in the days ahead. There is this profound healing needed for our society, especially for those who this celebration only brings up wounds and pour salt into wounds that won't heal. And this work isn't limited to white guilt or white knighting or anything. It's not limited to apologies or reparations, but it's to require and demand all of us improving the life and the hope of those all around, those who live on reserve and those who live on Frederick Street, those who work to better the lives of the poor and the needy, and those who go about their days not even considering it. We have yet to realize that it's all or nothing. And I mean this globally, that either we all prosper or we don't. For the gains made for one people have traditionally been upon the backs of others, those deemed beneath them. Look at the success of modern companies, the majority of which rely upon developing nations, the over-harvesting of resources, unjust laws which favor investment, the mindset to correct this very human habit of exploitation, for some, seems as challenging as trying to breathe in water rather than breathing in air. Then why do we celebrate? Why is this a celebration? And it's not for the fireworks and the extra Timbits and the poutine-flavored donut in the U.S. We celebrate holding in the back of our heads the destruction and genocide that is a part of our history, but we celebrate not as colonizers, but as people deeply thankful for the positive work being done and the hope that still lays before us. As one author, Kevin Loring, stated, "I suppose we can celebrate our continued existence, our resiliency, our resistance against the government and corporate forces bent on environmental degradation, our ability to find the humor in the darkest of moments." That's really Canadian, isn't it? Just this really warped sense of humor. "But our ingenuity, our passion, our love for Mother Earth, for Turtle Island, for each other." I don't know if any of you saw, there's a lot on This Hour Has 22 Minutes leading up to Canada Day. But there was a commentator at one point said, it started singing "O Canada," and said, "O Canada, your home's on native land." And it's that reminder, it was from an Aboriginal speaker, it's a reminder that we're the imports, most of us. We're here just slipping into this stream of history that has existed long before us. And like any other birthday or anniversary, we do so holding in tension all of the years that led up to it. If you were celebrating, let's say, 60 years of marriage, you hold before you the year that it was a little bit rough, the year that the money was tight, the year the kids wouldn't get along and you were at wit's end going, "Oh my goodness, I don't think I have one black hair left on my head." But when you hit that 60th, you don't say, "Okay, it's all off, we're done." There's nothing to celebrate because of that bump in the road. You hold that struggle, that joy, and all of it in tension with each other, knowing that you have the first 3 or 4 days into the 61st year. And we, as Canadians, have this opportunity to recommit ourselves, to remind ourselves that we still have work to do. Maya Angelou, who is not a Canadian poet, but said once that those who know better will do better. And that's our commitment here on this day after our celebrations, that we have the opportunity to both know what has gone on in the past and a commitment to do better as we walk forward into the future. We all see it every single year on January 1st, and maybe you're one like me who picks up some wonderful trend of, "That's it, this is the year I'm going to start exercising. I'm not getting any younger." And I mean, it fades away by the 15th of January. But there are some who look to a new year as a blank page, as a new opportunity to see the unspent days of a future untold and can live into a new reality and dream a new life, not just for themselves, but for their family, for this world. And that's what this sesquicentennial, I totally wrote it and thought, I'm never going to say it right. That's what that means for us. An opportunity to dream a new life together. So that when we're celebrating again in 50 years, we were walking on the beach yesterday, my son and I, thinking about where we'll be in 50 years. And I thought, whoo. And I'm thinking that now, even more so. But to imagine what it'll be like in 50 years. I hope and I pray that as loud and as persistent and as passionate and as necessary as the voices have been to raise the concerns of Aboriginal, First Nations, Indigenous people, as loud as they have been around this around this anniversary, this birthday, that I hope in 50 years things are different. That we have made some steps into the fullness and the wholeness of God. Because that's our challenge as people of faith, not to drift too far into patriotism or nationalism, but to realize that we are people faithful to God who dreams of a kingdom beyond borders and boundaries of creation, meeting creation, where life-giving streams care for all those in need. That's why this Psalm 72 was written. It was to celebrate and to bless King Solomon, who was rich in wisdom and mercy, and who was given the charge to care for all the people in his role as leader. And as he discerned these next steps as leader, he listened and leaned on the presence of God, which strengthened him. It's from this psalm that we discover words appropriated by Canadians. Dominion from sea to sea. If you check out our crest, sea to sea is still on there in Latin. Those of old thought these words of faith spoke best of these lands. And the control we might exercise over those who fall within these boundaries. Most of you, and I didn't realize it, again, it's woeful ignorance, it was called Dominion Day up to 1982. Dominion from Psalm 72. And just because we've become blinded by verse 8, it doesn't mean we can omit everything else that is sandwiched around it. For the rest of these verses from this psalm speak to a hope for Canadians, First Nations, new immigrants, those whose parents and parents' parents came over in times of war, LGBTQ youth struggling for identity and purpose, those who risked frostbite just this year, and death when in fear of the newly elected president of the United States. Those who have taken this land and its bounty for granted, all of us need to read these words. For we may judge God's people with righteousness. May we judge God's people with righteousness and God's poor with justice. May we defend the cause of the poor of the people, that give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor, which of course becomes problematic when we are the oppressors. May we have dominion. Deliver the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. This dominion, a concept introduced, and we shared it in last week's service, in the beginning of Genesis, the creation of all that is and would be, is God's empowering of human being, God's transfer of power, that God grants us dominion over the creatures of the earth and sky and sea. And we have chosen to live out this dominion in ways too familiar to Canadians and First Peoples, and we've sought to have one culture dominate another. But these words of Psalm 72 imagine something completely different. It said, and you can see the old ways of dominion in there as Ron read it, the idea that the enemies will lick the boots of King Solomon and all of that and lick the dust and... But you know why they do that? If you keep reading on down, it's a conditional statement. They do it not because they are underfoot or trampled or anything. They do it because Solomon is to care for those in need. to care for the poor and the needy, to give hope to his people. King Solomon's wisdom and reign will only be measured, that this psalm indicates, only be measured by what he does for those in his care. While it speaks to the rights, it speaks deeper to the responsibility that each of us have in ensuring that there's hope for all. I truly believe that's what it means to be Canadian. Yes, we apologize a lot, but we actually tend to mean it, or at least try to live into some sort of apology or new way of being, to feel a responsibility for our brothers and sisters, both physically and emotionally, those who share our journey and those who walk alongside us. To be Canadian means to live with a respect for neighbor, and even more so than respect, a care and concern for their well-being. We, as we mentioned last week, we enact and live out our dominion as we bear responsibility for one another. And you see it in the way that we have continued to live into the people we hope to be, in our health care, in our apologies, in our marriage policies, and in our discrimination laws. It's at the heart of how we care for ourselves and for others, and how we live out each and every day, let alone each and every year, that we're not quite there yet. For we sing, this land is our land, this land is your land, this land is my land, this land is shared between us and beyond us, and these gifts that we are blessed with each and every day encourage us to a new vision for God's people now and for all time. May we have hope this day and forevermore because of this. Amen. But